You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
My windshield wipers couldn't keep up with the rain beating down on my car. I was driving through winding mountain roads on my way home from a business trip. I promised my wife I would make it home tonight, but the rain was coming down so hard it made the road almost impossible to see. I had been driving all day, and I could feel myself beginning to doze off. I rolled down my window a little so the cold air would jolt me awake, but soon after I was nodding off again. The roads curved around steep cliffs and tall trees. I decided to stop because it would be too easy to drive off the road and end up wrapped around a tree, or worse. I looked for signs for upcoming towns. I hoped to come across a McDonald's or something so I could grab something to eat and get a coffee. If I had 30 minutes to an hour to regroup and re-energize, I'd make it home to see my wife and daughter.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Suddenly, a road sign listing upcoming rest stops zoomed by me. It only listed one gas station, a Motel 6, and a diner. I decided to stop at the diner. I drove for a few more miles until I entered a small area with three streetlights. On one side of the road, there was the motel, and on the other, there was a gas station and a diner. I parked at the diner and went in. The diner was next to dead. Beside me, an old man was sitting at the bar eating a slice of apple pie and talking to the cooks, and a group of teenagers loudly laughed in one of the booths. I made eye contact with one of the waitresses. She was older than me, and her skin drooped with age. Her cheeks were stained a bright pink with blush, and her lips were a bold red. It looked like she tried to put on fake eyelashes, but put the glue in the wrong place. My wife always complained about false lashes and how hard they were to wear. The waitress gave me a big smile, revealing a little lipstick on her front teeth. She opened her mouth to speak.
Sit anywhere you'd like, hon.
In response, I smiled and nodded. I sat in a booth as far away from the pack of teenagers as possible. Within a minute, the same waitress was at my table.
Hey there, handsome,
She smiled, her lipstick-stained teeth wiped clean.
What can I get you to drink?
I would love some coffee, I told her.
What's a good-looking man like you doing way out here all by yourself?
Oh, driving home from a work trip. Promised the missus I'd be home tonight. What's a good-looking woman like you doing way out here? My wife and I agreed we could flirt with other people if it were just for fun. Darla's pink cheeks took on a red undertone. Oh, stop. She smiled at me and lightly slapped my shoulder with the back of her hand.
You're lucky it's only raining, not snowing. You'd have to stop for the night if it was snowing.
Well, rain's no joke either. I could barely see through my windshield getting here. That, in combination with driving all day, I needed a break.
Do you want anything else, or just that coffee?
I told her I needed a moment to look over the menu. She winked at me as she left. She brought me a cup of water and a mug of coffee. As she placed the cups on the table, her eyes widened and she tried to make eye contact with me. Her attempt at intense eye contact made me uneasy, so I avoided it. But she ducked her head to meet my eyes.
Any idea what you want to eat?
Yeah. Can I please have the cheeseburger? I ordered. She scribbled on her pad.
Fries okay with that?
I nodded. She winked at me again as she left. As I waited, I texted my wife to give her an update. Darla was giggling with another waitress, and they kept looking over at me. I gave them an uneasy smile. I regretted flirting with her that little bit. One of the cooks yelled out, "Orders up for Darla's next baby daddy!" I felt the blood rush to my cheeks. The waitresses giggled.
"Oh, leave me alone,"
Darla told the cook playfully. She brought me my burger. She stroked my arm and said, "Enjoy," with what I think was supposed to be a seductive look. I nodded and barely smiled back in response. While I ate my burger, I called my wife. I figured that would cool Darla off if she saw me talking to my wife. My wife and I chatted while I ate my burger. She told me how bedtime went with my daughter and how much they missed me. I assured her I would be home as soon as possible after I finished my burger. I felt more awake and ready for the last few hours of driving, even in the heavy rain. Darla brought out a milkshake. "On the house," she said as she put it in front of me. I'd lie if I said I was put off. I was excited for the free milkshake and slurped it down. Honestly, despite what happened next, it was objectively a delicious milkshake. Darla cleared my plates and left me the check. Every time she came to my table, she kept stroking my arm. When she dropped the bill off, I tried to dodge her touch, and her demeanor changed. She went from sickly sweet to angry with me. As I wrote the tip amount and signed my name, my head felt heavy. The room started spinning. I looked at the waitresses. They weren't paying me any mind, except Darla glancing over at me every so many seconds. I tried to stand up to leave, but collapsed, and everything went black. When I woke up, I was lying in a motel bed. My hands were handcuffed to the bedpost. I looked around. Sun shined through the curtains. Someone had folded my clothes and placed them on the desk across from the bed, and someone was moving around in the bathroom. "Hello?" I called out. Darla's head popped out of the bathroom.
"Oh, you're finally awake."
She walked out with smeared makeup. I tried to pull at my restraints, but I couldn't get out of them. They were looped around the bedpost in a way that I couldn't just stand up and run. What happened? My heart beat against my chest as I looked around. It looked bad, and I had no idea what happened. What time is it?
It's about 10:30.
She smiled and sat beside me, placing her hand on my chest. I tried to shake her off, but her hand remained.
Don't worry, I told your wife. You know, you gave all of us in that diner quite the scare when you collapsed. The cooks helped me take you across the street to the motel to sleep. I guess you were more tired than you thought.
Why am I like this? She smiled deviously.
Why do you think?
She winked. I need to call my wife. She reminded me she already talked to her. Panic rose in my chest and it became hard to breathe. I kept wondering why I was only in my boxers over and over in my head. Darla stood up to retrieve my phone from the desk. She sat beside me, curled up against my restrained arms. She looped one hand around my neck and started playing with my hair. Darla showed me the messages she sent to my wife. She sent spicy photos of her and me together, and multiple videos of her on top of me. She didn't include my face in all the pictures and videos, so you wouldn't know I was passed out. I wanted to vomit. Get away from me! I yelled, and I violently shook my body to get her away from me. Uncuff me, now! I demanded. Darla looked confused, but then her expression relaxed.
Don't worry. When you meet Jack, you'll feel better.
Who the hell is Jack? Darla was offended.
My son? I told you all about him last night. Trust me, when you meet him, you'll know you made the right choice.
What choice? I spit at her. I passed out and woke up like this in a motel room, trapped with your decaying ass. Now she was really offended. She slapped me. I became increasingly agitated, demanding that she uncuff me. She seemed appalled at the idea, and her eyes illuminated with an idea.
I know what will make you feel better.
She crawled on top of me, straddling me. No! I yelled. Get off! I twisted and turned my body so she couldn't sit comfortably.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Once she was off, I kicked her in the stomach and she stumbled backward. She fell and hit her head on the corner of the desk. Darla? I called out. No response. Relief flooded my system. I told myself it would be okay because I would be able to say I killed her in self-defense. My mind immediately went to my wife. She saw those horrible images. There was no guarantee she would believe me about what happened, and I prayed she would. I waited for hours for the cleaners to enter the room. They were startled to see a man handcuffed to the bed and a dead woman on the floor. Thankfully, one of them grabbed a towel to cover me. The police took a while since we were in the middle of nowhere. They uncuffed me and they took my statement. They believed me since I was trapped. And I had proof of Darla's actions and my messages to my wife. When I called my wife, I could tell she had been crying. She weakly asked me what happened. I told her, and I begged her to believe me and work through this with me. She understood, and was more concerned about me and what I just endured. She told me she knew I would never cheat on her with an old hag like Darla.
After we talked, I knew I would be okay. And Darla got what she deserved. However, I think of her son from time to time and wonder what happened to him. Hopefully, he found a more stable caretaker.
I never thought a smell could ruin my life, but it did. The moment my fiancé David switched to that damn natural deodorant, everything changed. It all started 4 months ago, a decision he claimed was for the environment, for his health, for some grand cause I couldn't quite wrap my head around. But the stench that followed was anything but natural. From the very first day, it was unbearable. We had been together for 2.5 years, engaged for 6 months, and living together for a year. I loved David dearly, but this new smell tested the limits of my affection. As a forensic pathologist, I'm used to unpleasant odors, but this was different. This was a relentless, overpowering stench that clung to everything, pervading our home, our car, even my clothes. "David, you need to do something about this," I told him one night, the air between us thick with his scent. "It's getting out of hand." He looked at me with defiance. "It's not the deodorant. You're just used to all those chemicals. This is how a real man smells." I wanted to laugh at the absurdity, but it was no laughing matter. Our once warm and cozy apartment now felt like a prison. I couldn't sleep in the same bed as him anymore. I started avoiding him, retreating to the spare bedroom at night. During the day, I found excuses to stay out of the house. The worst part was the public humiliation. We took a bus trip one weekend, and the stares were unbearable. People wrinkled their noses, whispered to each other, and shot us dirty looks. I felt like I was living in a nightmare, my love for David turning into a sick joke. "David, everyone notices," I pleaded with him after the trip. "It's not just me. Can't you just try something else?" He scoffed, waving off my concerns. "They're all shills for the chemical industry. This is a conspiracy." I was at my wit's end. Our flat became a battleground of denial and frustration. I couldn't bring friends over, couldn't enjoy a meal without gagging. It was as if an invisible wedge had driven us apart, one that neither of us could see, but both could smell. One evening, I returned home to an even stronger odor. It wasn't just David's usual smell, it was something worse. The air was thick, almost palpable. My eyes watered as I stepped into the living room. "David, are you here?" I called out, my voice muffled by the stench. No response. Panic gripped me as I moved through the apartment. Finally, I found him in the bathroom, unconscious on the floor, an empty bottle of the natural deodorant by his side. "David!" I screamed, shaking him. He groaned, slowly coming to.
"What happened?"
"You passed out! What did you do?" I demanded, fear turning my voice into a shrill cry.
I don't know. I just felt dizzy," he muttered, looking dazed.
I called an ambulance and they rushed him to the hospital. The doctors discovered that the deodorant contained a high level of an unknown toxin. It had built up in his system, causing severe reactions. David spent a week in the hospital. During that time, he finally admitted he had been wrong. The deodorant had been poisoning him, and by extension, us. It took a near-death experience for him to see the truth. When he returned home, we threw away every natural product he had bought. The smell gradually faded, and our apartment began to feel like a home again. We celebrated our wedding a year later, surrounded by friends and family. David had returned to a regular deodorant, and the only smell that day was the sweet scent of flowers and fresh beginnings. My younger sister Jenny and I have birthdays just a few days apart, so we always have to share our birthday parties. Even though I'm 5 years older, every year I was stuck doing whatever Jenny wanted to do. I always felt like such an afterthought, and it drove me crazy. I decided that this year would be different. I was finally turning 18, and I didn't need any more family parties. I pulled my parents aside and told them to just have a party for Jenny,
I'd rather go on a camping trip with my friends instead. At first, my parents seemed to understand where I was coming from. Deep down, they knew how much they favored my sister. They were about to give me their permission when Jenny charged into the room and demanded that I stay for her party. She went into a complete meltdown, screaming about how I was ruining her special day.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It was obnoxious and obviously exaggerated, but my parents had to placate her. They said Jenny could have her party by herself, but she could also come on the camping trip with me. I couldn't believe it. They thought this was some big compromise, even though it just meant Jenny now had two parties instead of one. I was so angry, but I had to go along with it, or they wouldn't give me any presents. I went up to my room and called my boyfriend Trevor to tell him the bad news. He seemed really disappointed, suggesting that we reschedule for the next weekend. I was done changing my plans, so I told him no. That Friday, Jenny and I arrived at the campsite. Trevor was waiting there to greet us, but I didn't see any of our other friends. He sheepishly told us that everyone else canceled after they found out my sister was coming. "Sure they did," Jenny said, refusing to believe that she was so unliked. Instead, she accused him of uninviting them himself. It was a weird thing to say. Trevor, unfortunately, hated when people corrected him, so the conversation very quickly turned into an argument. Eventually, I had to step in. I told Jenny to wait in the tent while Trevor and I went for a walk. She argued for a second, but then she gave in. I said some pretty mean things to make her stay. So we left her there. Trevor and I had been to this area before, so I wasn't really paying attention to where we were going. I just followed Trevor. Eventually, we got to a clearing that I didn't recognize. The trees were especially twisted, and there was a deep crack in the ground, wide enough for someone to fall into. This was not a good place to stop. Trevor must have disagreed because he spread a picnic blanket on the uneven ground and laid out cheese and crackers. I sat across from him as we talked and ate. It felt great to be away from everyone, just the two of us. I was still disappointed that the rest of our friends bailed, but it was honestly better this way. Trevor and I were so comfortable together. Then I noticed something weird. Trevor kept mentioning Jenny and my family. He kept twisting the conversation back to how much I prioritize my family over everyone else. I'd never realized how much that upset him. Trevor's mood just kept getting darker and darker. He was ruining our perfectly good picnic. I'd seen him go off on his little rages before, but they'd never been directed at me. I tried to calm him down to explain that I'd have less family pressure now that I was 18, but he wasn't listening. It was like he wanted to get into an argument. I stood up and started to walk away, but Trevor jumped to his feet and grabbed me. "Let me go!" I screamed. But I knew that we were too far away for Jenny to hear me. Normally, she would have followed us. But after the way I demanded that she stay at the tent, I knew that she'd stay put. "I'll never let you go," he said. "You'll be mine forever." And with that, he shoved me to the side. I hadn't realized how close I was to the wide crack in the ground. My shoulder slammed into the rock edge, and then I toppled about 12 feet into the hole. My entire left side was screaming with pain. The chasm was dark and narrow. I felt like I was in a coffin. There were roots jutting out of the walls, enough for me to climb back up. I grabbed one and pulled, but I didn't have the strength to lift myself up. One of my arms was definitely broken. From the surface, Trevor looked down and smiled. "It looks like you're trapped in there. Now I'm the only one who knows." I begged for him to help me get out, but he just shook his head. Now that he had me all to himself, he wouldn't let me go. He casually sat on the edge, his legs dangling just out of reach, and explained what would happen next. He'd return to Jenny and tell her I got lost. Then he'd make sure to send the search parties in the opposite direction. And every day he'd come back to visit me with food that he'd drop into the hole. Just as he was explaining his insane plan, he abruptly stopped talking, gasped for a second, and then toppled forward into the hole. Unlike me, he landed head first, passing out on impact. I looked back up and saw Jenny standing at the edge of the hole. She'd pushed him over.
"I was following you," she said. "I knew you shouldn't trust him."
Then she lowered down the thickest vine she could find and encouraged me to climb up with one hand. Once I was within reach, she grabbed onto my shirt and pulled me the rest of the way. We sat together on the edge of that dark pit. She wrapped me in a tight hug. We started talking about her own birthday party next week. It was going to be horse-themed, an idea that I genuinely hated. She asked me if I was going to come.
"Of course," I said. "We're sisters."
The music was set low. Typical. Just how they always played music so that one could hear the voices of patrons drinking at their tables across the room. I always loved it there since I found the spot on a cold night out 3 weeks ago. The atmosphere was cool, just like the 90s blues that filled the air with its patient crooning. I was on my second drink. The first had been a potent combination of tequila, lemon, and salt. It had hit my stomach and pulled out the anxiety from my core. In a way that was unusual, I felt more at ease with the crowd around me. I was staring at the plant on the table when our eyes hooked on each other. It was the most stunning moment of my life in months. I was sure my heart skipped more than a couple of beats at this muse of a moment. Her red dress risked a slit down the side that showed off her beauty. I downed the second shot before me in a blink, dusted my suit, and approached her with all the pretense of an important figure as I could muster. Our talk was smooth, easy chatter, like minds that had found each other in the strangest of places. She mentioned her name was Jennifer, and I told her my name, David. I was a writer pining for company, and she yearned for companionship. I was hooked indeed. All of my loneliness evaporated with each sentence that built our conversation. I could not deny myself the ache for her scent. She perceived it in me and said we could go back to her place. What fear could I have? She did not seem dangerous. I had seen women like her in many cities of the world. I awoke each morning with the smell of their body in my breath. There was no debate as to the invitation. "I have Netflix," she said to me on the drive home, as though it were supposed to make me excited. "Visual stimulation," she clarified. "It helps younger writers like me with inspiration." I sighed and contained myself until I was inside of her house. "No dogs? Cats?" I asked, puzzled by how quiet the house was. Almost as though the quiet was artificial. amplified deliberately to conceal some other problem. It was the first sign something was wrong, but I had not thought about it too deeply. "No, just me," she answered, shrugging as she walked around the sitting room, setting up the television set as I sat on the couch. "What do you watch on Netflix?" I didn't know. I don't watch television. So I asked her to put on her favorite show, and I'll enjoy it with her. I added that I hope it's as good as her self-published work, an excerpt of which I had read during our ride back to her house. She laughed at the joke and promised to make sure it's a movie I like. Then she stopped abruptly and stared down a door which had been shut when we had walked in. I followed her line of sight, and the door was open. "That's weird," I blurted, before I could recollect my thoughts on what was happening around me. A sense of what was amiss gnawed at my gut, and I had an urge to leave. But I thought against it, because it would be rude to leave my host's house at such a short notice. Jennifer tried to smile, but her face betrayed a mirthless sense of confusion. My heart started to beat faster than it usually would. The adrenaline fed my senses with such a stimulation as I had never felt before. In that moment, knowing something terrifying was about to happen and not knowing how, I broke into a sweat. "Is your house haunted?" I asked quietly, hoping for humor to break down the suffocating tension in the room. "No, it's not," she replied and gulped. I knew she was telling the truth, but the way she stared, it was a blank stare into nothing. Into the dark passageway as though there was some force conjuring her attention to it. "Are you possessed?" I was able to rein my thoughts in with some regulation before the words left my mouth. My instinctive reaction was of utter terror, and my feet felt the compulsion to escape. But the writer part of me wanted to see it through, however frightening the night ended. "God, no," she muttered repeatedly, as though it helped the fact that I was almost shitting my pants seated on her couch. "Jennifer!" I barked, and she jumped, startled to even look at me. Her eyes watered up, and she struggled to manage her attention between me and the open passageway. "Leave, David," she said to me. I was hesitant. "What about Netflix?" I said, beside myself with dread, but unwilling to show it. I could feel it. She had bled her fear on me, and even the nails of my fingers had gone cold from the infection. It mattered more that I was afraid of what was happening because I did not know what was happening. Jennifer picked her hands up and started to move forward in gingerly steps. Each step was like watching a horror movie play out in front of me with real-life consequences. My belly folded in on itself, and my stomach juices rolled up to the back of my tongue. "Please, don't hurt him. I'm tired of you doing this. How did you find me?" Jennifer cried as she approached the door. Gently as she could, she lay her hands on the door to close it. A hand from inside the dark passageway reached out and pulled her by the hair. I jumped in my seat and scrambled to the floor in sheer fright. The thoughts in my head went wild from the surge. The lashing noise of Jennifer's body whipping against the floor set my entire body on alert. I turned around as a monstrous man, eyes red with rage, slipped out of the darkness. "You can never get rid of me. I'll kill every man that touches you until you want me again," the man cried. "Hey, man, I apologize. I didn't know she was yours." I begged for my life, seeing no sense in trying to escape, as he looked like he would outrun me. He slipped his hands into his pants quietly and retrieved a long, glistening knife. "I'll cut you up," he said, "limb from limb, just like the others." My life flashed before my eyes when he started to approach me. I thought of everything I had done and the life that it had gifted me. Childhood reeled into teenage years and adulthood. It was all painfully fast, and I awaited death with bated breath. My head drumming loudly and my heart almost pumping out of my chest, I had surrendered to my fate. Before I heard the loud gunshot echo through the atmosphere, With a single bullet to the center of his head, I saw the monster of a man collapse to his face in front of me. Jennifer held the gun in her trembling hands and muttered words of how she was tired of her volatile ex who would not let her be, chasing her from city to city and making her life a living hell. She cussed at his body and kicked him. Then she turned to me. "Leave, David," she said.
"You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Shaken by the traumatic experience, I left straight for the hospital for some help from the horrifying experience I had just experienced.